Hello and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Doug Arnold and I'm a member of the Hospitality Ministries team. It's a joy to have you worship with us today, and we do invite you to fully participate. You'll find links to worship materials in the description section of our live feed, and as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship today, we also invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
Thank you. Happy New Year, everyone. It is my joy to welcome you to worship on this first Sunday of Advent. This is the first Sunday of the Christian year. And so that is why I say to you, Happy New Year, as we gather at the beginning of this season and prepare to hear the story again of Christ's coming into the world. It's my joy to welcome all of you from wherever you are this morning worshiping, and especially to welcome the family of Brooks Carlisle Parks, who's here for the sacrament of baptism. And I hope that all of us feel the Spirit of Christ holding us together as we worship today. I would invite you, if you are worshiping through live stream, to take a moment to let us know that you're worshiping with us. Alongside the chat and the video, there should be a link that you can put into your browser that will allow you to register your attendance and let us know any prayer concerns that you might have. All along the chat during the service, there are opportunities to greet one another, to pass the peace, to offer your offerings online, and to participate fully in the service right from where you are. I have a few announcements for us as we gather for worship this morning. This afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock, you'll have an opportunity for those of you who have registered for an Advent wreath. That will be a drive-through event under the porte cochere at the church, and you can come by and pick up your Advent wreath. And we hope that all of you will set one of these up in your home and make it a practice for yourself, for those in your household, to light the Advent wreath together. Because of the recent guidelines offered by the mayor and our decision to cancel in-person worship services for a couple of weeks, we will not be having our gathering around the church block this evening to sing Silent Night and light candles together. So in lieu of that, we are inviting all of you to make a video of yourself and perhaps those in your household lighting a candle. And if you share a household with others to light each other's candles in that video and send those on to Chase Benson at the church, and they'll be compiled into a video montage that we'll share together in our virtual candle lighting service. And I think it will be powerful and beautiful. So I urge you to participate in that. There are all sorts of opportunities for service and learning and worship throughout Advent, and the best way to learn about those is to go to our website, westendumc.org/Advent2020, and take a good look at all of the opportunities listed there. We will have our mission market, which we usually have in Reed Hall on Sunday mornings during Advent, but we can continue to support those folks online and virtually through our giving, so take a look at that information. And then also a new thing we're doing this year, next Sunday, December 6th, we're having a painting party. And you can set up your paints at home and join a group together that will be doing a little bit of painting. Speaking of painting, on the cover of our bulletins for the four Sundays of Advent, we have paintings that have been done by some of the artists in our congregation to give us new ways of having images for this Advent as we consider hope on the horizon. And finally, I just want to say a word of thanks to Mark O'Brien and Monty Smith and the Tulip Tree for the beautiful decorations they provided for us once again in the sanctuary. I know that Mac Perkle will help us to see those in worship online this morning, and I hope you feel the beauty of this space right where you are worshiping. And I hope it helps you anticipate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we walk together through this season of Advent.
Holy God, let your Spirit shine upon us.
Restore us, O God.
That we might honor the lives of others.
Restore us, O God.
That we might find ways to lay down our disagreements and lean into unity.
Restore us,
that we may have strength to continue to work for justice.
Restore us, O God.
For we are weary and tired and in need of your holy restoration.
Restore us, O God.
We light this first candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of the restoration brought to the world through Christ. Hear these words from the Gospel according to Mark.
But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake.
Come now before God with our confessions, believing that all that we are and all that we hold are seen and held within God's unconditional love for us. God of love and light, we confess our struggle to trust in you. We cry out to you as we wait for redemption and restoration. We search the horizon, longing for the hope only you can give us. Make us aware of your presence, O God. May we refocus our gaze on you, the ultimate source of love and light. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. I invite you now to pass the peace of Christ with those on the chat and those around you. And as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace be with you from the Galatians.
The great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Kevin and Hannah Parks bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Kevin and Hannah, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, my friends in the congregation, those here present in the sanctuary and those worshiping with us from home, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Now I ask you what name you've given to your child. Brooks Carlisle. I baptize you in the name of God, your Creator, in the name of Christ, your Redeemer, in the name of the Holy Spirit, your Sustainer. Amen. And now if you all want to place hands on him, and we'll all pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in his life. Brooks Carlisle, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Oh, yes. Amen, he says. He is indeed beautiful, and he is wearing a gown that his mommy wore and his grandfather wore, and it's a special heirloom in their family, and they continue to pass the faith down from generation to generation, and we celebrate that with you. So we're going to invite you all to stand there as the congregation takes one more vow to offer you support and love.
Will the congregation please rise in body or in spirit and face Brooks Carlisle? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Brooks Carlisle to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Brooks Carlisle, and we welcome you in Christian love. as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from Psalm chapter 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears, and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to take a moment with the children and would invite you to come a little bit closer to your computer or your television or whatever device you're using to participate in worship this morning. You may notice that we have the first candle of our Advent wreath lighted this morning. I understand that the video we had of a family lighting that candle may not have worked, so maybe you didn't see that happen. But each week we'll be lighting a different candle on our Advent wreath. Next week we'll have two candles lighted, and the next week it'll be three. We're building the light in the sanctuary and building up our expectation and excitement about Jesus' birth on Christmas. And in worship every Sunday during December, we're going to be hearing from the book of Psalms. The scripture that you just heard was a psalm. Now, if you want to find the Psalms in the Bible, the easiest thing to do is open right up to the middle. And the Psalms are right in the middle of the Bible. And Psalms are different prayers and songs that the people of God have been singing and praying for hundreds and hundreds of years. And one of the things I love about the Psalms is that they express everything you could possibly imagine to God. You know about all the different kinds of feelings that we can have, right? Sometimes we're sad. Sometimes we're really happy. Sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we're confused. Sometimes we're just tired. Sometimes we're really, really grateful. All of those feelings are in the Psalms. And all of those feelings are things we can talk about in our prayers with God. God wants to know when we're feeling angry or sad or confused. And of course, God wants to hear from us when we're happy and feeling grateful. There's no feeling we have that we need to hide from God. And the Psalms help us to pray through all of those feelings. God will always love us no matter what. And that makes us free to share everything on our hearts with God. Let's pray together. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that you love us so much. And nothing will ever change that. Help us to feel so safe with you that we can tell you when we're feeling upset or sad or angry. Help us to love you so much that we take time to say thank you and we love you in our prayers. And we thank you for the Book of Psalms that gives us words and ways that we can pray. Be with us in this season. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much. I hope you're as excited about this season as I am. My husband David and I moved into the neighborhood where we live over 20 years ago. I know it's a bit unusual for a Methodist preacher to be in the same house for over 20 years, but I've had sort of an unusual journey anyway, so we've been in the same house for over 20 years. When we first moved into the neighborhood, most of the houses looked like ours. They were small ranch homes, maybe two bedrooms, one bathroom, built in the 40s. We knew all of our neighbors. Some of them were the original owners of those houses. But over the years, our neighborhood has changed, as many neighborhoods in Nashville have changed. When someone sells a house in our neighborhood, a lot of times within a week, it's been torn down. And within a few months, a huge house comes up, or even two on the same lot, sometimes even three. And I'll have to admit, there's a part of me that's a little cranky about that. I feel like the neighborhood's losing some of the character it used to have. And so I'm always kind of excited when there's a house that sells and it doesn't get torn down. And you see the construction workers arrive and you realize that they're just going to restore the house. It's going to be renovated. It's going to keep its same shape. It's going to look like it always has on the outside. It's just going to be fixed up and restored. I think about a friend of ours who is a restorer of old cars. That's one of his hobbies. And he buys old cars, and he has fun searching for all the different parts to get it fixed back up and repainted so that it's restored to its former beauty and glory. There's something about restoring something back to the way it's used to be. That's very satisfying. That word restore is one that we hear several times in this psalm, Psalm 80. Three times the people of God in this prayer ask God, restore us, O God. Let your light shine and come and save us. The people are crying out to be restored. They want to go back to the way things used to be. Something has happened that has caused them suffering and pain. This psalm is a communal psalm of lament. And God's people are in a moment of darkness and suffering and pain and confusion. And they cry out to God, restore us. Take us back to the way things used to be. Now, we're not really sure what happened in the life of God's people that caused such devastation and destruction. But the best theory that I've come across is that this was coming out of a time in the 8th century BCE. When the northern kingdom of Israel had been overrun by the Assyrian army. They had destroyed much of the land, taken many of the people captive, and dragged them into exile. It was a moment of great suffering for the northern kingdom of Israel. And this psalm perhaps comes out of that moment when they feel devastated and lost. And this psalm even articulates this idea that maybe God is behind it all. You have fed us the bread of tears, they say to God. And in part of the psalm that we didn't hear, they say, you know, you planted Israel like a vine and you tended us and put a wall around us and took care of us. But now you've let the wall be torn down and you've let strangers come and trample this vine of Israel. Turn back, O God, they say, which can be translated, repent, O God. I know that kind of theology makes me uncomfortable. Maybe it does you too. In my understanding of God, I don't believe God causes this kind of suffering to God's people. And yet this is how they feel. This is what they are experiencing and expressing. This is how they're interpreting the events that are around them. And they have enough trust and faith in their God to know that God will hold them and receive this lament and receive their anger and receive their confusion and receive their cries and never let them go. It's a lesson we can learn from the Psalms, as I shared with the children. We may not have always the right understanding of why bad things are happening to us. And we may be angry at God, and we may be confused, and we may want to shake our fist at God sometimes. And the Psalms give us words to do that. And underneath these Psalms, like this one, there is a deep faith and trust in the love of God that will never let us go. And so the people cry out, "Restore us, O God. Take us back to that place of strength and autonomy where we were as a nation before the Assyrians devastated us." I think it's interesting and helpful that we're not sure exactly when this psalm was written, because it could apply to any age and any time of devastation of God's people. It speaks to us even now, in this moment. This year that we've been walking through has been one of the hardest in my lifetime. I know perhaps it doesn't compare to the years in the bubonic plague or so many years in world history in our past, but it has been a painful and devastating year for us as God's people. We cannot gather and worship in the ways that we want to. We can't greet one another and pass the peace and give each other hugs and signs of love and peace. We can't sing together side by side and light one another's candles on the second Sunday of December, as has been our tradition at West End. There are so many things that we have lost as a community of faith. There are so many things that we have lost in our individual lives, the ability to gather around the Thanksgiving table without worry of making one another sick, the ability to have graduations and weddings and to remember and celebrate a person's life who has died and gone on before us. Yes, there is loss and devastation for us as the people of God. And I don't know about you, but there is part of me that joins with the people of Israel in this prayer. Restore us, O God. Take us back to where we were before all of this happened. Restore us to our former practices and routines, our former strength and glory. That's all we want, is to go back to the way things were in January. And yet, as we listen to the prayer of the people of Israel from thousands of years ago, we listen to it with the ears of the people of Christ. And we see in this psalm that the restoration that God is about is not necessarily the one that the people are praying for or hoping for. Perhaps they were asking to become once again a strong nation, to have their king restored to the throne, something that never would happen again. And yet, as we hear this psalm, as we read this psalm on this first Sunday of Advent, perhaps we can hear the promise of restoration that is coming. Perhaps we can hear that soon God will choose to restore the relationship with Israel and with all the world by becoming one of us. God will become flesh, will be born in the middle of the night, in silence and in poverty, in a little known corner of the world. God will become a member of this congregation that is praying this prayer, "Restore us, O God." God, through Jesus, will be praying this prayer himself, will stand with his people in their moment of desperation and pain and devastation. Jesus himself will understand that longing and that lament. And he will pray the psalm of lament as he hangs on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And through his presence with his people, through his companionship with us in our suffering and our loss, through his complete understanding and receiving of this prayer that we pray, "Restore us, O God," he will bring about something new. He will save us in a way we never expected. The truth is, my friends, we will never go back to the way things were in January. Life will never be the same in the church, in our families, in our schools, because God has been with us on this journey all along, and we have experienced God in new ways. We have prayed in new ways. We have felt connected with each other in new ways, and we've learned some things. And so now we pray this prayer in trust that God is doing something new among us. And the hope that is on the horizon, the future that God is preparing for you and for me and for the people of God, is far better than anything we could ever pray for or hope for or imagine. So let us continue to trust in this God whose love holds all that we bring and is in our midst about to do something new. Thanks be to God.
And now, as the people of God, it is our witness of faith to affirm our faith together. And so I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join me in our affirmation of faith as found on page 881 in our United Methodist hymnal. I believe in God, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayers with the pastoral team this morning for us to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. There are also probably links showing up in the comments section on our Facebook page and also on live stream right now. And you can click on those and submit your prayer requests. You may also put prayer requests in the comments section. Just remember that that is a public forum. This morning, our prayers and sympathy are with West End member Marilyn Dubree in the death of her mother, Elsie Agnes Dubree, on Wednesday, November 25th. Services are pending, at this time. Our prayers are also with Kimmy Dement Dean this morning in the death of her brother, Alan Dement, on November 23rd. A small family service was held yesterday, November 28th, and we pray for Kimmy and her husband, Derek, and their family at this difficult time. Prepare us now, loving God, for a time of prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of every generation, your steadfast presence has been with your people in each and every age. In this generation and in this age, we identify with the cries of those who have come before us. As we face the end of a year that has seen much suffering and sickness and fear and anguish, it seems that we too have been fed a feast of tears. And so we cry out with them as we pray, "Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine that we might be saved." God of every restoration, today your salvation takes root among us again. The first Sunday of Advent marks a new year for us in the church. Remind us that this is our holy turning point. Remind us that this is the time when we boldly claim that you are indeed the God who saves us, the God who comes to meet us in our greatest need, and the God who arrives to live among us in the form of a human baby. Your face shines through the vulnerable and needy face of the Christ child, and your spirit moves powerfully among us as we anticipate the fullness of your love. As we prepare our hearts and minds for your arrival among us, open us to the truth that in your world there is always hope on the horizon. God of our anticipation, free us from all resignation. Come to meet us once again so that your goodness fills the world. Meet us in our need. Fill us with new and everlasting life. Heal our weary bodies and souls. Give us a new song to sing in this new year of our Lord. God of our exaltation, we call on your name as we offer in silent prayer the people and places that are in our hearts this day. As people ready for restoration, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website or text to give. You can also mail in a check to the church. We realize that many continue to suffer economically right now, so we simply ask that you give as you are able. We know that God can multiply any and all gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
As we go from this time of worship, may we remember that our God is a God of the horizon, that God is doing something new even now and is ready to bless us and to bless all the world with peace, grace, love, and hope. Amen.